Blog Talk Radio.
The Law Office of J.L. Hawkins and Attorney Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer, presents The Michael Van Tool Show with jazz poet Michael Van Tool. Attorney Johnny Hawkins, also known as the Warrior Lawyer, is a nationally recognized personal injury expert, also specializing in serious trucking and auto-related accidents, police misconduct, civil litigation, and probate law. Call the Warrior Lawyer, Johnny Hawkins, today at 248-567-9990. The Michael Van Tool Show is produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group, LLC. Experts in business support services dedicated to building your customer base. Call 248-516-8300. And now, Cass Tech graduate, former banker, community worker, published author, and recording artist, Michael Van Tool.
Good morning. Thanks for waking up. This is Detroit Sunday Morning News Information Inspiration podcast produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group, brought to you by Trillion Realty and the Warrior Lawyer, Johnny Hawkins. All right. The Sunday morning team is beginning to chime in. Let's go down the list this morning. Kimberly Batchelor Davis, lifestyle editor, author, speaker, and podcaster. Good morning, Kimberly.
Good morning, Michael. Shout out to our amazing Sunday morning team. Blessings to missionary Hattie Humphrey's family. We know that she is smiling and listening, hopefully up in heaven to us. And good morning, Detroit.
Yes, and I've already spoken with Bishop Robert Garner, who will be attending next Friday. Spoke to him already this morning. The phones were jumping. Minister Randall Smith called already, so we should be getting a few more calls on the line. But they know I'm up, Kimberly, and people, they call me in the morning. They know I'm up, and so let's go continue to go down the list here. International Police and Fire Chaplains Association minister and gospel singer, Chaplain Stephen Caffey. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you, Mike. Shout out to all of our wonderful team leaders and supporters. Amen. Thank God for all of us today. Shout out to the missionary, because I know she's smiling down on us this morning.
That's right.
And I say good morning to Detroit. And before you step off, Mike, I got a sister minister. She'll be calling in at 9:15. She's doing some I wanted to do a reflection, and she remembered the missionary and a particular incident with her and the missionary, and I would love to hear her. She comes on it. I told her to call in at 9:15, if that's okay.
And we would love to hear her reflections. You know, we've heard from a number of people over the – we heard from Judge Kelly Ramsey on last week. Before that, we heard from missionary's niece, Francis, and so we love to hear their reflections, memories of missionary Humphrey, and for those of you who have tuned in for more information, we got it for you, including the services and everything. And let's continue to go. Holistic health and wellness coach, registered nurse, consultant, and health enthusiast, and author of our segment on called Selfishly Healthy, Nurse Nikki. Good morning, Nurse Nikki.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Sunday morning team. It's a good day, shining bright. Are we ready?
Yes, it's a beautiful day. I love these type of days, and that's one of my favorite. And no, it is my favorite time of the year. Right when it gets to spring and it starts to warm up, and you know. Even though it's work, I like to get up on – it's still not warm enough yet, but I like to get up in the spring and wash the car early in the morning and stuff like that. To me, that's not work. I'm a car enthusiast. That's not work for me. It's fun to get up and wash and clean and detail a car. That's one of my favorite things to do. All right. So we've got news, weather, we're going to hear from the Sunday morning team, but what I do want to do right now is just read you the official press release announcing missionary Humphrey's departure. The official press release says missionary Hattie Humphrey, respected church leader, radio host, and spiritual advisor to Detroit's elected officials, died on Friday, March 22nd, 2024, at 96 years old. The popular church evangelist died at home in Detroit with friends and family by her side. Missionary Humphrey was born in Hazen, Arkansas, on March 21st, 1928. She was the oldest and longest surviving of eight siblings to parents Alice and George Casey. Missionary Humphrey and husband Ray moved from the prairie lands of Arkansas to the bustling Motor City to build a rewarding and successful life. From earliest memory, Missionary knew her calling was to make a difference, help others, and become a missionary. Missionary Humphrey soon built a following in churches and at concert venues across the city of Detroit as a mistress of ceremonies. She began to know and introduce A-listers on stage like Stevie Wonder and the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin. She presided over church events with style and excitement, just like the stars she befriended. It was not unusual to see Missionary Humphrey in fancy custom-made hats and flashy outfits being driven around town in her signature black Lincoln Continental. Missionary Humphrey raised her public profile by hosting her own religious TV program. She also started an inspirational community affairs radio program called Community Highlights on WJLB back in the day. She used the program to share her common sense Holy Ghost gospel, along with showcasing local candidates running for office. After a few years on the radio and building a following, she became known as a political kingmaker of sorts. Many candidates attributed their success to appearing on Missionary Show. Others won elections because she escorted them to a strategic list of churches during the campaign. Many of the churches they visited were led by preachers who she mentored who were mentored by her from the time they were teenagers. In the 1970s, Missionary began hosting an annual spring birthday banquet that grew in popularity. Judges from most courts in Southeast Michigan came together each March to celebrate her birthday. It became the biggest political dinner in Detroit every spring. The banquets consisted of 30 or more judges and 250 more pastors, bishops, business leaders, and candidates running for office. No matter how popular things got, Missionary always reserved tables for ordinary church members and family. Missionary Humphrey was a mentor to pastors and helped to build the congregations of some of Detroit's largest churches. She was an icon to the masses, but to her friends and relatives, she was someone you can count on in the time of need. She was a woman of extraordinary grace and dignity, sent to us by God. She's referred to now as Detroit's spiritual ambassador, Missionary Hattie Humphrey. That was the official press release that is being distributed to news organizations. Let me welcome gospel artist, recording artist, minister, and community worker, Randall Smith, Minister Randall Smith. Good morning, Minister Smith.
Well, good morning to everyone. You too, Brother Antu.
Thank you. Thank you for including me.
You're welcome.
He's something else. He's shooting already this morning.
I know. It's going to be one of those Sundays, I can tell already. But Minister Smith, you've been up. You must get up, what, about 5 o'clock on Sunday mornings?
No, I'll be up early. Remember, I'm the senior pastor. I had to pray for y'all while y'all asleep.
Okay.
Amen. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, he's fired up and ready to go, and it's a great day to be up. All right. Let me go. I have some notes before we take a break and then head to the news. I went to see a play called The Laramie Project last night at Oakland University. It was interesting. I heard this story in the news, but it was a play about a young man who was gay, and he was murdered in one of those Western states. I gotta find it. I should have kind of looked through it before I started reading it. His name was Matthew Shepard, and it highlighted some of the violence, even out in those Western states. These things don't just happen here in the city. Crimes happen even in rural America, and that's where it is. But I'll get more information. I forgot where it happened at, but I'll get it. I'll get more information. But it was a great play at Oakland University last night. I want to send my regards to the family of Marvin Reynolds. I went to his home going yesterday. This is the brother of Lolita Standifer. Lolita and I have known each other for about 30-something years. I met her when she was a reporter for the Michigan Chronicle. I was the opening act for Frankie Darcel at the Comfort Zone back in the day, and Lolita came in and I didn't know her when she came in, but we met while she was in there. I saw her taking pictures. I saw her writing notes, and I went over to her, and she introduced herself. She said, "I'm writing an article on you," and it appeared in the Michigan Chronicle way back when I was a much younger individual at the time. I was younger at the time. Okay, that was a number of years ago, but it was her brother, and the family. They treated me like I was important. Her family, so I appreciate that. So,
excuse me, sir.
Yes, Minister Smith.
Listen, I need you all to pray for me this morning. So, I got a reminder. I have to. This bishop from out of town asked for me to come and sing. I don't know what that's about, but okay.
Oh, really? Where is that?
Memorial Gospel Church in Equals here.
Okay, well, I would say accept the invitation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I guess the prophetic word is coming true.
Yes. Yeah. Don't run from your calling. Brother Smith.
Don't do that.
Don't do like me. Don't run.
That's right.
But we're not going to drive down that street.
That's a dangerous street to go down.
Well, okay. I did find out where that Matthew Shepard murder occurred. It was in Wyoming on October 12th in 1998. That's where it was. Mm. Matthew Shepard was a gay American student at the University of Wyoming who was beaten, tortured, and left to die tied to a fence in Laramie, Wyoming. And it occurred on October 6th, and he died 6 days later. So that's what the play was about last night. Yes. It happens all the time here in Detroit where there's a news story, and then you hear it on the 11 o'clock news, and then you never hear about it again. And I always wonder sometimes, what happened? Did they catch the person? What happened to the family? They just throw this stuff at us on the 11 o'clock news, and then it goes away. But I can tell you this, it doesn't go away for the families.
Right.
Okay? They still got to deal with it forever. For the rest of their lives, and I'm glad they had this play. You can't just imagine if it was your relative, your relative that was found in an abandoned building, your relative that was shot. Look, I just read about, he wasn't a close friend, but I knew him, and I was looking on Facebook, and it talked about a shooting in Atlanta. And I said, that looks just like Reginald. And it was. After a few days later, I confirmed it, and it was the same Reginald that I knew here in Detroit. He went down to Atlanta and was shot in the middle of the street. So I don't know what happened with that situation, but but sometimes the family does listen to the show. I haven't been able to talk to the family since I did reach out to them, and I'll probably catch up with them at some time. But I was stunned that it was. I looked at the picture. I said, "Hey, that looks like Reggie." And then after I was able to confirm it, I Googled the news report and I saw it was him. And they haven't found the killer yet. I went. Commissioner McCormick has officially announced a run for her fourth term. The campaign kickoff was Thursday, April 4th at Demi's Restaurant, 7 Mile and Telegraph. And we also had a memorial for a few minutes of Dwayne Hines' co-worker at Commissioner McCormick's office who passed in January, just suddenly. We don't even know what happened, you know? So, all right, that was a full 15-minute introduction. Let me take a break. When we come back, we've got the latest in news and weather. And
don't forget to declare your running, my brother.
Oh, yeah, yep. Oh, look, I'm thinking about it. I want to do it within the next, the next 3 to 4 years. And I'll be one and done, and I'll be done, and I'll be ready to get out and retire for real and go to Bermuda or something like that. We'll be right back.
Have you or a loved one been seriously injured in a motor vehicle-related accident? Waste no time and make your first call count. Call Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer.
Hello, I'm Johnny Hawkins, and I can assure you that no one can out-service me. How do I know this? Because I care. Listen to me. I'm only blessed in what I do so that I, in turn, can be a true blessing to others. That's it. That's how this thing works.
For a free telephone consult with Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer, simply call 248-567-9990. That's 248-567-9990. And now a message from jazz poet Michael Van Tool.
Hi, my name is Michael Van Tool. Let's talk for a minute. I believe in Detroit. I spent 32 years as your neighborhood banker. But now I form Michigan Ocean Strategy Group to bring three affordable business services directly to you. Number one, radio advertising and production services. Number two, customized business services and workshops. And number three, political and public relations. So call me and share your vision. My office number is 248-516-8300. But look, I can't do any of this business stuff without shining a light on our community. It's who I am. It's a part of me. There are people who desperately need our help. And there are people who work hard every day. And there are volunteers who provide resources and opportunities to those in need. You see, I believe in our community. I believe in you. And we can believe in each other. We are one. One community. One neighborhood. One city. Let's live and work together. My name is Michael Van Tool. We are all one Detroit.
If you would like to share your vision for Detroit with Michael Van Tool, call 248-516-8300.
No matter what we do, we are one.
And now, back to the Michael Van Tool Show, sponsored by the law office of J.L. Hawkins and attorney Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer. Call today, 248-567-9990. And now, Michael Van Tool.
Let me tell you something, don't you worry about a thing tonight. I promise you that everything is going
to
be
all right. We're back. This is the Michael Van Tool Show, Sunday mornings, 9 o'clock on blogtalkradio.com, Detroit's news and information and inspiration podcast. Chaplain Kathy, you'd like to introduce your guest for us. Go right ahead.
Yes, we have Minister Michelle. She has some great events or whatever that she put out as well and that she do and hosts. However, she has a great reflection of the missionary. I had asked her had she had known that the missionary had passed, and then she had said yes.
Great.
And then went to expounding upon a reflection that I think would be so, so necessary for us today. So,
great. Well, Minister Michelle, thank you so much for calling in this morning. The Sunday morning team is here. Good morning, and thanks for sharing.
Good morning.
We have had, you are the third in a row each week. We do have spotlight, one of missionaries' friends and co-ministers to share their reflection. So we'd love to hear your reflection on Detroit Spiritual Ambassador Missionary Hattie Humphrey.
Well, good morning, Michael Van Tool and Chaplain Kathy, and thank you very much for having me on your show this morning. And, yes, I was sharing with Chaplain Kathy. I've had a chance to spend some time with Missionary Hattie Humphrey and with her and Dr. Tony Booker. And I was just so she made an impact. I was singing. I'm also a vocalist, a psalmist, and I was singing at a particular church event that Missionary Hattie Humphrey was at, and there was a lot of hoopla going on. You know, church is church is church, but a lot of times it could be a lot of hoopla. And people were dancing and trying to catch each other's steps and seriously, trying to catch each other's step. And the preacher only had 10 minutes to talk, and they spent the rest of the time on this dancing. And Missionary stood up, and she said to the whole church, he said, "What kind of hoopla is this? God is not pleased with this."
Wow.
And I respected, and I said, yes.
Yes.
Stood up and said it to the whole church.
You know, you're
and
right, Minister Michelle. She one thing, she did put a stop to things. She spoke out, and when others and she said what we wish we could have said it, but she said it in a way, and she didn't beat around the bush either. She was direct. And and how did they respond to that?
They stopped.
That's right. Amen.
They listened to the voice of the woman of God, and they stopped.
Yes. Yes.
And after that, I had the opportunity to sit down and share a couple of dinners with she and Missionary Hattie Humphrey and Dr. Tony Booker. And it was just a blessing and honor to be in her presence, to sow some seed into her life, and just she was a blessing. She was when a person can stand up and take a stance, and we all have to take a stance. And she was very much about community, and Chaplain Kathy shared with you that I'm a Lions Club International member, and so one of the projects that we do for helping the environment and helping people is we collect furniture. So for people that want to donate furniture, instead of throwing it out into the landfill, throwing it out and people pick it up, they say, "Oh, somebody's going to come pick it up." Yeah, but they're throwing it away. They're messing up the landfills and our waterways because they're going to take it to a scrapyard and get money for it. So don't throw those things out when they're nice things. Let's give them to someone else. And this is church. This is church. Give them the
Yes,
sir.
You are so right. You just mentioned the Lions Club. You didn't know that me and my dad were both presidents of the Northwest Detroit Lions Club 30 years ago. And
we got to get back.
Yes, the Lions Club has been near and dear to me. I've been so busy over the years, but I definitely want to get back. I have been in the Lions Club for many years. And so, yes, I'm going to contact you, Minister Michelle, because I would like to get back into, and that's what God has called us for. He's called us to help, to help others, you know, whether the blind, the sick, the hungry, that's what our mission is. That's what he wants us to do. And I'm glad that my parents taught me this a long time ago, and I'm glad that to hear that you know, you're on your mission too. But tell us more about you, Minister Michelle, and your ministry.
Well, my ministry is in the streets. I help and I give furniture to people. To date, since 2022, we've filled up over 1,500 homes throughout Wayne and Oakland and Macomb County with furniture, and primarily Wayne County. Mm. And so we need more people to donate to that. I'd like to give out my number so that people can.
Oh, absolutely. Go right ahead.
Okay, and we're going to be on June the 15th, we'll be at the Maiden House Ministries on Woodward at the corner of Puritan, and that's 16111 Woodward at the corner of Puritan in Highland Park, and we'll be bringing, so people can bring their couches, their tables, their chairs, their plates, their cups, their dishes, their vacuum cleaners, things that are good. Now, we don't take junk because we're blessed to be a blessing. So
right.
We want you to give the things, but we have excess. You know, we're blessed people, many of us.
Yes.
I used to have 5 additions. Now I don't need 5. Two will suffice.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we give them away to people in need. We're not selling them. We're giving these items away.
And what's your contact information and your number?
Yes, sir. My number is 248-238-4863. Again, that's 248-238-4863. And that'll be June the 15th. But we actually give out furniture and things almost every weekend. But we're trying to put things aside right now for the June 15th event at a giveaway. It's a recycling furniture giveaway at the Maiden House Ministries. People can call me if they'd like further information. And then I also host a podcast myself on WJZC Pool TV. It's called Community Updates and Enlightened Hearts. And we're on every Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. And they can catch us on WJZZ Pool TV Facebook page or YouTube. And then Instagram, Twitch, and Twitter as well. So that's
great. I remember some specific incidences where Missionary Humphrey just stopped everything and had to call somebody out. Once when two people were talking over her, she was at the podium talking at one of her birthday banquets, and two people on the platform, on the dais, on the table were talking, and she stopped, turned and said, "Shut up." And they, one of them was a bishop and one of them was an attorney, and they both apologized and they stopped talking. Another one, I've seen her do it more than once. She will tell a pastor that is going, you know, she may tell them just to introduce yourself or speak for 2 minutes, and they started speaking for 5 and 10 minutes, and she will tell them, that's enough. And she was very direct. She didn't ask him to stop. She just said, "That's enough. That's enough. We got other people." She was very direct. And then there was enough. And then if you're out of order, she will tell you. If you spoke without addressing her or something like that, you know, if you got up to speak and you didn't even make reference to her, that or the ministers on the dais or up, she said that. And if you did not dress properly. That's another one. Don't come in there with no short skirt and sit in the front row. Or don't come in there not dressed appropriately. And that's for men or women. And she would let you know. So thank you, Minister Michelle.
Missionary Humphrey had a holy boldness about her that was a pleasant smell. As God says, be a sweet-smelling savor. Unto me, she was a sweet-smelling savor unto God and unto the people that she served in front of, because she was a servant in front of God's people, but a strong, mighty force. Like, you know, like you said, don't play with me. Don't play with my God. Don't play with me.
And they were terrified when she spoke. And I had people come up to me afterwards and say, Mike, I hope missionary doesn't is not mad at me. You know, I'm going to apologize to her again in a few minutes, you know. But she humbled people, and she was direct. She did not, like I said, she didn't try to sugarcoat it or anything like that. And which it was about law and order. When she was in that church, there was law and order when she was there. And it could be 10 people in the church, or it could be 1,000 people. It was the same way. And those of us, it might not be politically correct, but it worked.
And she did it in love. I think that's why
yes.
it was so received. People
yes.
didn't buck back against her because she did
right.
it in love.
Right.
And that's so important.
I haven't heard too many people challenge her. And I one or two times that I did hear that, you never saw them again come to her community highlights meeting. They never came back to the radio show. They never came back. You never saw them with her again. Once you mm-hmm. challenged her publicly and you were not respectful, she didn't have anything to do with you after that. And you normally just disappeared from her circle. That
mm-hmm.
was something. Thanks for your reflection, Minister Michelle.
Thank you so much.
And I'll be reaching out to you. If you have time, you know, we're going to be on for the next hour or so. You may have to go to church, but we're going to be on for the next hour if you want to listen in. But God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you.
God bless you.
We'll be right back after this message with news and weather. See you in a
minute. You've waited long enough. You deserve this chance. Now is the time to get the royal treatment from Regina, the Queen of Car Loans. Purchase your new car or truck at her new home, Joe Longhammer Chevrolet in Waterford.
Hi, this is Regina, the Queen of Car Loans. Let me worry about your credit and down payment. Together we'll find a way. That's my job. I want you in the driver's seat. So let's look at your trade-in, your monthly payment, and do a credit review. Let's take advantage of Joe Longhammer's wide selection of cars and trucks so I can put you in a car today. It's okay to call me right now. 248-218-9808. Even though I'm the queen, I answer my own phone.
Hurry to the new home of Regina, the Queen of Car Loans. Joe Lunghammer Chevrolet in Waterford, or call the Queen's Helpline at 248-218-9808. Chevrolet. Find new roads. And now, back to the Michael Van Tool Show, sponsored by the Law Office of J.L. Hawkins and attorney Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer. Call today, 248-567-9990. And now, Michael Van Tool.
Don't you worry about a thing tonight. I promise you that everything is gonna be
all right. We are back, and there's so much going on, and of course with the big celebration of life occurring next Friday, I'm going to probably take a short break next week and not air next Sunday, only because there's so much going on, and with the planning committee, with Missionary Humphrey's homegoing service, we'll not air Sunday and take a break before we come back. But let me give you the arrangements. The viewing is at Swanson Funeral Home, Thursday, April 11th from 2 to 7 p.m. This is the East Grand Boulevard Chapel, 806 East Grand Boulevard at Mac. So this is the Mac and the Boulevard Chapel, Swanson Funeral Home, from 2 to 7 p.m. on Thursday, April 11th. And then Friday, April 12th at Second Ebenezer Church on DeQuinder. The family hour is at 10 o'clock and the funeral service is at 11. And what a time of rejoicing that will be on Friday. So those are the official arrangements. And also in the news, an emerging economic powerhouse, in the second largest country in south of the Sahara Desert in Africa, only after the Congo, has completed one of the largest airports in Africa. The new airport in Angola costs $3 billion, sits on 19 square miles, and can handle 15 million passengers annually. The airport is called, it's a long name here, the Dr. Antonio Agostinho Neto International Airport. I guess most people are going to call it the Neto, N-E-T-O airport, Neto or Neto. Eventually, all international airlines will fly in and out of the airport. The new airport will help link Africa to Europe, Asia, and the Americas. It's intended to extend Angola's commerce and tourism and for Angola to play a pivotal role in the economic strength of Africa. So, look, Africa is emerging. I'm telling you, I've had conversations with some people, Kimberly, and they're like, that is going to be the new economic, cultural powerhouse years to come. You know, a lot of people, I remember the Tarzan movies from back old school, way back in the 30s and 40s. That's not Africa. And,
not at all.
And if you think that that's what Africa is now, you land, there's cities in Africa bigger than Detroit, more modern and everything. Don't fall asleep on Africa. And the natural resources, there are tons of untapped natural resources in Africa. I'm telling you, why you think the Chinese are there?
That's right.
The British and Americans have been over there in and out of Africa for years. The Belgians, the French. But this time is going to be black Africans now. This is Angola. This is a $3 billion airport. I don't know if you guys heard what I said. 15 million passengers it can handle. It sits on almost 20 square miles of land. That's huge. That's huge.
Yes.
So I'm telling you, that's going to be the new economic powerhouse. And the United States better get in on this now before we get locked out by China and Russia, because China and Russia are there. They're there.
Yes.
All right. According to Yahoo News, California is paying its small business workers $20 an hour as the new minimum wage. But it was a shock to Monica Navarro, assistant manager at Foster's Freeze Restaurant in Lemoore, California. Her store closed the same day the law was passed. The owner of Foster's Freeze told Fox News affiliate KMPH that it was the last thing she wanted to do, but she can't afford to pay every employee $20 an hour. Her employees were informed upon arrival at the restaurant that Monday morning. Can you imagine? You show up to work and they tell you that the business is closing. The new law went into effect last Monday, enforces a $20 minimum wage for restaurants that have at least 60 locations nationwide. I remember when I was at Manufacturers Bank. Now you know how old I am. I was working at Manufacturers Bank back in the day. You notice I never use dates, you know, because then people would think I'm like getting older or something. But I was working at Manufacturers Bank, and I drove to work one morning and pulled into the lot, went inside, looked on my desk, and it says, "Welcome to Comerica." The Manufacturers merged with Comerica at that day. We didn't know anything about it until we got to work, and then they started putting it on the news shortly later that morning. But some of these companies, I tell you, they do stuff. They don't tell you in advance. They don't tell you. You know, you just walk in and find out that there was a merger or the company's closing. You know, you never know. Or your job is being moved out of states, anything like that. But they don't usually tell you ahead of time. An elderly American was killed in Zambia after an elephant charged at a vehicle carrying tourists in Kafue National Park. Another woman was injured and was taken to a medical facility in South Africa following the incident, which took place on Saturday. The Conservation Hospitality Company Wilderness, which was the sponsor of the trip, said Tuesday. Four others were suffered minor injuries. The vehicle, which was carrying six tourists and a guide, came under unexpected attack as the elephant galloped from behind the trees, caught up with the truck, and then charged directly into the vehicle, flipping it over. The 79-year-old was taken by helicopter, which was dispatched to the scene. Look, I don't know why some animals do that. Something triggered it, you know. Look, all I know is that we don't know what kind of communication animals have.
Right.
We don't know what, you know, it could have felt threatened somehow. You know, anything. I know that some animal psychologist or something could explain a little bit more. You don't know why a lion attacks. You don't know why a lion, you could be a trainer with it. You can work with it at the zoo, and it won't do nothing to you for years and, you know, 10, 15 years. And then one day something snaps and it dives after you, chases after you, charges at you. This elephant, I don't know if any of you guys saw the video.
I did.
Yes. And did you see how it was hanging back behind the trees? Now, an elephant is huge. I couldn't even see the elephant back there. But he was gaining on that truck, and he kept running.
He was.
And then he got closer. He was running alongside the truck, and then all of a sudden he just turned, charged right into it, flipped it over, and crushed everything on that truck. Amazing. Amazing.
Now, a fact about elephants. Elephants are very intelligent. Elephants,
yes, they are.
They mourn their dead. And if they come across, you know, an area where their loved ones passed or you know, however they place the bodies to be covered, they will stop and have reflection. Not in the sense of as in people, but as in animals. And I have always said animals are far smarter than what we give them credit for.
Yeah.
They may not be able to vocalize the way that we can understand it, but they have their own language. And
you know,
many times I believe animals are pissed off that we keep moving into their territory. And they're like, we're tired of it.
You know, dolphins.
Road, they get you.
Yeah, dolphins are intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
Whales.
They are.
Because they can communicate electronically.
Mm-hmm.
They communicate with sound. Dolphins and whales. I still think, and dogs. Our pets.
Yes.
Yeah, I tell you,
they understand us.
I think dogs are one of the smartest creatures around. You know what they do? They play up to us. They play on us.
Mm-hmm.
They know how to look. Do you know a dog's face can look like us? They can make themselves look happy and sad. They appeal to us as human beings.
Mm-hmm.
They know what we like. I see all these little pets and puppies in people's houses, walking with them out on in their yards, and I'm like, that little puppy, that dog is playing its owner. It's doing everything it could. It loves being in that house, being fed cats and dogs and stuff. I'm like, they know what they're doing. I want to go up to a dog and say it to them, like, I know you know what I'm saying. I know you're smart.
I'm sorry to cut you off. I know you said that, Mike. Now you're making me want to put my cat out. Because I think my cat praying on me now. Yeah, see, now you done did a right around, man, and got animals put out a house, man. I'm gonna put my cat out as soon as I get home. Go outside.
They don't fool me. Yeah. They don't fool me. They'll do anything to make sure they stay in that nice warm house, getting that nice healthy food, you know, instead of being out chasing mice out in the alley. They're like us. They're just like us.
I had a cat one time, Mike, snuck in my house. And when I grabbed it to put it out, the cat grabbed the baseboards of the door, would not let go.
It was like,
They're not out there.
They're not stupid. They know. Look, that's why I'm home now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get put out. Chaplain Kathy, if I have to cook, wash dishes or whatever, I'm gonna do whatever I can so I can stay home too.
I do like Brenda.
She trained well.
Minister Smith, you can say what you want to say, but I'm saying.
Wait, hold on. I just thought about that. I'm getting ready to get married. Hold on. Let me stop laughing. I'm sorry.
Right.
That's right. You better stop.
You better stop. Okay.
My Lord.
Okay. I needed that.
But you know, I'll tell you, if I may say this, this is what missionary would want.
Yeah,
this is. She would want this. She would want us to keep moving forward.
Yeah,
don't be all down and dreary. She knows it's gonna be moments and days like that, but she would want us to keep this show moving and still be happy. You hear me?
Right. She's happy.
I don't let that go.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's happy. She was asking us about this before she left. One of the last conversations I had with her when I called her. She was like, "Why y'all trying to do all this stuff for me? I'm about to leave." She said, "I'm tired." I called her to let her know, Kimberly. I called her to give her update as to what we were doing with the dinner. You know, her birthday dinner and. You know, she told me, "I don't know why y'all doing all this stuff. I'm leaving here. I'm tired.
She was right.
I'm ready to go home. And I'm like, what's she talking about? We trying to do this. We trying to fix this dinner and get the musical going. And she up here talking all this stuff about she going home. Well, yeah.
But did you know, though, Mike? I've heard. They know. You'll know, but we won't understand it as that actual knowledge coming from them.
Right.
But they know. Mm-hmm. When it's that time, you know, but there is no way you could tell somebody this is actually that time. You have to say it like you're saying it. And then what do you say? Man, what is she talking about? I'm still finna go make preparation for this party.
Right.
You're not thinking about it like that, but she's actually telling you that she knows.
She told us, and now we had to switch everything up. She was right. She was right. She was right again.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to weather, and so that we can get to selfishly healthy. But what's going on with the weather? It looks nice. I tell you that. I'm hearing
it is beautiful. So, Chaz and Kathy, I'm gonna need some help on this one. So I just need you to be ready. We have a temperature right now. It's 37 degrees, and it's beautiful. It's sunny today. Today, we'll go from a.m. sun to p.m. clouds, so it'll cloud up as we go throughout the day. Our high today was expected to be 54, our low of 43. Tomorrow, expect morning rain showers with a high of 67 degrees with a low of 47. On Tuesday, it's the possibility of evening thunderstorms with a high of 68 degrees and a low of 48. Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a high of 65 and a low of 49. On Thursday, rain showers will return with a high of 61 and a low of 44. And on Friday, More rain showers will continue with a high of 55 and a low of 40. And next Saturday, mostly sunny skies with a high of 63 degrees and a low of 46. And that's
Well, you got all the help you need.
Great. All right. Well,
thank you.
The warmer temperatures are on the way. Spring is coming.
Yes, they are.
Spring is coming. Yes. Great. All right, Kimberly, thank you very much. Selfishly healthy. Nurse Nikki, what you got for us today, holistic health and wellness coach?
Well, good day again, everybody. Today I just wanted to talk about how we spend our time sometimes trying to convince people and move them over to our side, and it turns into some type of big argument, right? Mm-hmm. So what are the physical effects of anger, and is it really worth, you know, making your point or trying to move somebody over based on what they believe, because their beliefs aren't really going to change really rapidly. You know, we've been trained to believe certain things and educated to believe certain things, and if you're differing on what you believe and trying to woo and move somebody over, it's not worth it to you physically to do that, or mentally. So when we talk about some of the physical effects of anger, because a lot of us will tend to get angry, you'll start to feel this inner stress on the inside when you're trying to make somebody believe you or have them know something. Your body enters into this fight or flight type of response, right? And that's the same thing your body does when we get really fearful about something or very excited and anxious. And so physically what happens is that, you know, your adrenal glands, they start flooding your body with these stress hormones, adrenaline, cortisol, your blood, your brain starts to run away, you know, blood from your muscles and things like that. Your heart rate goes up, blood pressure goes up, your respiration increases, and it just doesn't feel good, right? So a lot of times I may converse with a person, and then I may try to make my point a second time, but if it just keeps going, I'm done with the conversation. You just have to just cut it out and or shift it to something else, because then people get angry, and this is how these different fights erupt. Shootings occur, fights, stabbings, all this kind of stuff, road rage. And it's not worth it, right? So that's my take on today. What I want to really express in some different ways that we can really, if you know you're a person that's prone to anger and want to get argumentative about your point, recognize that within yourself, and then start to do some different things to express your anger in a more healthy way. Sometimes we can work out, go for a walk, do different things like that, something physical, because that actually helps to reduce your stress hormones in your body. It actually exercise. Yeah.
I actually think they, and I think me and Henrietta had a conversation like similar to this in the past, that I actually think that we need anger management in schools, classes, every day. Every day there needs to be, you know, a time of about maybe 15 to 30 minutes in school. Every school district should have it. This anger thing is a huge issue. It's really bigger than the school systems admit. I think there should be an anger management program that is mandatory, treat it like a class that you have to take in middle and high schools, because that is something that is, you know, people are not handling anger properly. They're not, just like they're not handling rejection, they don't know how to deal with anger. They don't know how to deal with differences of opinion. You know, I had a family member, you know, one of the things they do is to try to out-talk you. They try to keep talking and don't let you speak. Then they try to shout louder over you so that you won't be able to talk, and they never let you speak, or they're threatening. And I like what you said. One of the things is like, somebody's got to stop talking. You said you stopped talking, and I did that. I had a relative that, and I'm not going to call his name because it'll get back to him. He'll know I was talking about him on the show. But I had a relative that's how he would not let me speak. He would talk louder, outshout me, all this kind of stuff. And so I decided to just stop and listen to him. And guess what happened? He talked himself out, and there was a point when he stopped, and then that's when I started talking. I outlasted him. He would talk so much, and I figured out to just stop and just listen. And then he would stop talking, and then I would say, well, this is what this is my point of view. And then I was able to get it in. But yeah, this anger thing is big, and they really need it in school.
Even elementary school, because a lot of children are angry, especially surrounding these device usages and computers and iPads. They get really angry when you take these things away, and they're having beer fits of anger. And so that's bringing a whole different generation that's going to have these anger issues. You can see it playing out in even the toddlers. It's really bad. But just what you were speaking about, sometimes people just want to hear themselves speak. Sometimes they just want to be heard, you know.
Yep.
And sometimes I just allow that space for them because when I recognize that that's what needs to happen, and you just allow that space. But when a person just continues just to just express themselves and they want to show that you're wrong, then sometimes let them do it too. If it makes you feel good to do that and this is what you need in this moment, then go for it. But I will, you know, I will just stop talking. I may go to another space in the building, room, house. You know, it just depends on where I'm at. But I don't feed off into it, because I realize that when someone is talking at you and they're not allowing themselves to even be opening to hear your point of view, then I feel like I start getting angry inside. And then that's when I say, you know what, my physical and my mental space is more important than continuing in this conversation, because there's no prize and there's no winner at the end of it, right? There's no winner.
Right.
I'm not going to get a prize for winning this argument. I learned this a long time ago, and I taught my children. I said, don't argue. You're not winning a prize. There's nothing to be gained from this other than your ego is stroked that you were right. So just let it go.
Yeah.
We need to learn to go and walk away.
Yes. On very rare cases, does those type of arguments end in a peaceful manner? Every once in a while, somebody will back down. But somebody backs down, you know, like you said, it may be just so that it can end, you know. Okay, I'll go with you to the movies, you know, like that. It ends like that, where somebody gives in. But that's why people do it, because they want it's this power trip that they have. They want to threaten you, and they want you to do what they want you to do. But that was a great topic, and I think that's way out front now on how important it is in our daily lives. Thank you, Nurse Nikki. Thank you very much. All right.
Thank you.
Kimberly Batchelor-Davis, what you got for us today?
So I have an actual feel-good story. I love books. You guys know that I'm an author, and this story made me very happy to hear. Ask most people around the country about the number of bookstores in their town over the last 20 years, and the answer will almost inevitably be that it's gone down. But the new Barnes & Noble that's in a new Nebraska location is part of a slate of openings envisioned to reach as high as 50 to 60 this year alone, to follow up on the 31 openings from last year to match booming book sales born during the pandemic and which carried on into the post-pandemic world. But the greatest news is that it's more than just corporate bookstores that economic reports suggest are flourishing. As the U.S. book sales market continues to both grow and diversify, the majority of the retail book market is controlled by small stores. Yet further, this isn't a trend limited to the U.S., but continues around the world, with 50% of all retail book sales, whether they are in Germany, India, or Nebraska, coming from the proverbial shop around the corner. It's so exciting, said Janine Flanagan, who is the Senior Director of Store Planning and Design with Barnes & Noble when interviewed about the Papillion store opening. She said, we came to a screeching halt in terms of opening stores. We hadn't opened stores in a very long period of time. Flanagan said this has the same thing to say about bookstores as Grandview Search, whose data were quoted above, that communities use bookstores as gathering places to talk, to meet, to interact, and to hold events. We opened 31 stores, which is actually more stores than we opened in the past 10 years combined. This year, we're looking to open somewhere between 50 and 60 new stores. While digital and technological forms of media such as ebooks, audiobooks, and long-form podcasts continue to grow at the highest paces, the physical book bought in a physical store has never lost its luster and continues to represent the largest chunk of book purchases nationwide. I was very happy to hear that. People are reading again, and that is an exciting thing.
Yes, I'm glad to see that, too. I never got used to reading online and stuff. I mean, I'll do the news. I'll look at the news. But for a book, no. I always would rather just have the actual book. I have some books sitting here in my office so that anytime I have, an opportunity, I can just read. But I love books. And, that's one of those things that – I would rather have a CD or a record instead of, going on to Spotify or I still like the actual record itself. And I used to love when an album came out and you had a physical album and you had a booklet, a document. You got pictures of the artist. You got the words to the songs. You got graphics and photos and drawings and the credits of who's performing on the CD, all that stuff. And I'm like, we miss all that stuff now. I don't even know where you get to read all that stuff anymore.
This is true. I have two record players, and I have my parents' collection of records, which I treasure. And then every once in a while, I'll go someplace and find another record that I want to buy. And my kids laugh at me. They're like, Mom, you make listening to music like a whole event. I said, because it is. You sit down, you play the record. It fills the house in a way like same as it's streaming it. But you hear the crackle and the crinkle from the record right before it starts. And there's like an excitement that builds. And my kids are just like, oh, Mom, you are just. So you need help. It's a wonderful thing to have some of those traditional touches. They just matter so much.
Yes. Thank you, Kimberly. Let's see if Minister Smith is still with us or did he go into church. The floor is yours, sir. What's on your mind today, sir?
First of all, I know how to still love those that respectfully hate you. Some friends, anyway.
Well, I don't know who you're talking about, maybe it's one of the listeners or something.
I know, bro, Kathy, that much you said. I wasn't talking about you, my brother. So you're not, I ain't judging anybody. My mother said something to me. When we launched the ministry and Kim them co-signed her, and she said, this had to happen. I fought against it because I went through some personal things. However, Mama said, son, get out of your feelings and do what God called you to do and you'll never go without. That being said, I said to Brother Van Tool just this morning, I said, man, whatever has to happen, we got to do it. I decided that we're going to name part of it. We're going to do in memory of. Once we get the building, we're going to put one up for Mama and one for my father. There's going to be a memorial of them. We can find a picture. That's going to go in place of Mama Hattie Humphrey and my father. then those of you all the parents that have gone on, there'll be a memorial for them as well.
Nice.
I found out just a few minutes ago, I got a double obligation. Can't do but one. I'm hurt. I want to be married. I'm looking to get married soon so this woman can, well, I'm not going to get into all that. But anyway, we got to step up the game. Mama left the legacy here. Mike,
now,
told you, my brother. Told you, Mike. It's in your hands.
Look, if there's something else that you brought up, too, you said, and you've been the main driver behind, you said you wanted to do a Sunday morning team brunch.
That time.
And I think that is long overdue. We've been talking about it for a couple years now. And I want to kind of have a do like I normally do, something that works. And every time I am involved with something that's organized, like a committee, I think we need to move forward with it. Like, you know, Minister Smith, you're the one that kind of been pushing this. So obviously you're the driver behind it. I'll support you. I don't know how Kimberly feels about it. But
full support.
I would us to move forward with this. And I think if we can do it before the summer starts, you know, before the summer, sometime before the end of June, I think, one Sunday morning, and you know, we'll have some options. You know, we can always have it here at my building here in Southfield. We can also have it at a particular restaurant, but we also wanted, but we also wanted to broadcast at the same time too. We wanted to broadcast that same morning and put it out. So maybe,
on camera.
And so maybe we can secure a spot at a local restaurant and let them know that we'll be broadcasting live that morning with the Sunday morning team from their restaurant. And of course, we will be reserving a whole section, you know, at the restaurant.
I would rather do it at the office simply because the Lord had dropped in my – I would buy the food. I'll buy whatever the Sunday morning team. We get the eggs, the bacon, turkey sides, whatever the case may be, and just have it there. And then y'all can bring y'all to-go baskets and take it up because it's gonna buy. I'm gonna buy a nice amount.
And then I think we also were thinking about opening it up to our families, the Sunday morning team and families, and possibly some key people in your circle so that we actually have an audience when we're broadcasting and it's being done live. So and we'll put it on video too. So I think that would be great. So let's move forward with it. I'll see about securing. I have a brand new conference center here that it can easily hold that. We'll have the food catered in. Let's move forward. And, of course, it'll be a Sunday morning brunch sometime in June. Do you know there are five Sundays in June. So we have plenty of Sundays in June to figure it out. We probably won't want to do it on the holiday weekend of the 30th because that's the 30th, July 1st, and then July 4th is the Thursday. So I don't know about that, but at least either the 2nd, 9th, the 16th, or the 23rd. What did you say?
I said I'm planning my honeymoon already. I don't want no smoke. I got to, you know. Unlike y'all big dogs, I got to be obedient.
Okay.
And we have to do it at the beginning of June. I leave the middle of June, and I'll be gone until July.
Okay. And you know what? I just thought about that for myself because I think I'm going to be going somewhere the week of the 16th. So maybe we might have to shoot for the 2nd or the 9th. So, So, all right. Okay, we'll move forward on that. Chaplain Kathy, thanks for your guest this morning, sir. I appreciate it. Final comments? That was a very engaging conversation, and we had something in common. I do want to talk to her about the Lions Club, and as we've been talking, Evangelist and Minister Michelle has been clicking onto my Facebook page, and she's been clicking on viewing and liking all the different things about missionaries. So she is engaged in the process. All right.
Yeah, she's. Wow. I what I wanted to say and bring us to this sense here is that because we are all now going to walk into the next journey, and then the next chapter. And the next chapter is that our beloved missionary next Sunday won't be physically on this earth land no more. Right. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult for a lot of us when we go to that service. But I want you to know that we all have each other, you know, and then folk are going to be looking for us to get strength from us. So we have to be strong. There's no easy way to handle the grief, but just understand that there are some side effects to death. And those side effects there is that I want to keep you down. I want to keep you depressed. Side effects of death says, I want you to forget that the scripture says that to be absent from the body is to be present with God. And if I know that I'm present, if I know that my presence is with God, then I don't want nobody down here hurting like that. I don't want nobody shed no tears of sadness, but yet tears of joy. The Bible declares that death holds no sorrow that God can't heal. This is a hard death. It's a hard death for a lot of us. A lot of us, especially for us, as we're going to have to keep holding on the mantle and keep it moving forward for our beloved missionary. So that's where my mind and my focus is making sure that I kind of dubbed myself the spiritual advisor for the entire team. Personally, Michael Vantour, but for the entire team, I want us to just hold on to God's unchanging hand and ask God that when we see the missionary, that it doesn't do to us what death would normally do, and it would break you down. Death would break you down and have you sitting in one spot. Death will break you down and make you lose your appetite. But I want you to know that the missionary would want us to continue to move forward. She would want you to do exactly what you're doing with the beloved Preacher Randall. She would love for you to do that, just as well as she would love for you to remember that she wanted us to do the Sawyer Age event for the Michael Vantour Blog Talk Radio Show. She said that on the show. I had a stamp of approval for that. I'm willing to go all the way back into the old shows just so y'all can hear. You hear me?
Amen.
So that will be next. That will be the next one that we would hope to do after this brunch that we plan on have. But with that being said, God bless you all. I love, care, and appreciate you all. But let's hold each other's hands through this thing. And because it's going to be hard.
Amen.
It's going to be hard. And I just want to say shout out to all of our sponsors. Shout out to all of our sponsors. Shout out to those that knew the missionary as well. Thank you. Thank you. I want to personally say that because I know sometimes I can get so bombarded with other things that, you know, he needs us to help him remember some things in his young age.
Well,
God bless you.
Thanks for sharing those words.
Thank you, Minister Michelle. I'm sorry. Thank you, Minister Michelle, for allowing us your time that you joined in. And we look forward to hearing from you again on the Michael Vantour Blog Talk Radio Show.
Yes. Let me also just give a shout-out to Franklin Wright Settlements and the great work that the organization is doing and the family by the way, has entrusted the services to Monique Marks, president and CEO of Franklin Wright, and myself. The family has given us the task of preparing and organizing Missionary Humphrey's homegoing services on Friday. So I want to just say to I'm honored. Actually, we're both honored to be asked by the family for this. We're looking forward to an exciting, joyful celebration on Friday. And then because of I know what I the work that we got to do this week, I know I'm going to be very tired after the funeral. So we're going to take a break next Sunday. I'll be sleeping in a little bit, get my coffee, maybe some French toast or something next Sunday morning. So we're going to take a break Sunday. We're not going to air Sunday, but we'll pick it up the following week. So God bless you all. Enjoy your Sunday. It looks great. I'm getting ready to head out to church now. And here's something to listen to on your way out of the program. God bless you all. Have a good day today.
God bless.
God bless you.
They try to break me, try to pick me up, but I got Jesus on my side. And I thought it was nice, but ain't no power stronger than the one that came and laid down his life. And I got multiple times, but the enemy can't stop me, cause there's a calling on my life. So when I'm crying, don't last too long. Lose it again. I'm about to let them know where I'm from. Don't take me there again. Call on Jesus, my friend. Get me back in line one more time, cause he's always listening. Ain't nobody perfect, everybody's hurting. Need to whisper, Lord, save me from my weaknesses. Cause you're always my time. Come and get your breakthrough, cause I'm gonna get mine.
Michael Van Tool Show, brought to you in part by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group. Build your customer base now. And the law office of J.L. Hawkins and attorney Johnny Hawkins, the warrior lawyer. Call Johnny Hawkins, the personal injury expert, today at 248-567-9990. Thank you for listening. Everything is going to be all right.